Can you pass the characteristics of up here, please? Thanks.
Say that.
So, hello. I'm Lawrence. I'm a recovering sex and love addict.
Hello, Lawrence.
And just trying to get my heart to calm down a little. I'm sure no one's ever been a little nervous up here. I came in this room, in these rooms in 2005. I was in this relationship which brought me down to my knees. It was the same relationship I'd been having. It was total textbook characteristic of SLAA. I was the type of person who was unable to, I needed external validation. I couldn't generate it myself. When I came into these rooms, I felt utterly broken. I had the gift of desperation. I came in on my hands and knees and willingness to do whatever it took. I remember as my relationship was ending and I couldn't quit her, and I just thought I was one of those people with a high sex drive, and I didn't realize that I was using sex to drum out my feelings. As growing up, I had the same stories probably all of you, so I'm not really even gonna go there. But when I came into these rooms, it was like I realized that my sex addiction was causing a problem. It made her feel like she wasn't enough. And so that was the crack that made me start looking at all this. And what I realized is, as a kid, I'd been sexually abused. And all the mechanisms that I used to survive, fantasy, just trying to will myself into a different place, drugs or sleeping or TV, anything I could do to numb out my feelings, because I did. And you know, they all worked until they didn't. And that's what brought me into these rooms. So when I came into these rooms, I would hear people speaking about, that they had sex abuse issues, and I learned to find treatment group. When I came into these rooms, because I just was so desperate, I found that therapy and the steps were like the two hands that could help me wash the stuff clean. This speech probably won't help with the newcomers, but I mean, this is a program about spirituality. So it's a roadmap. Everything that happens to us, as my sponsor keeps telling me, is designed to bring us closer to God. I needed a God. I needed Sky Daddy to help me with this. Working the steps enabled the transformation. So I came in, I had like the longest withdrawal experience. I probably didn't. If somebody would have said, okay, you're going to go into a program when you're in your late 30s and you're going to not have sex for 3 years, I would have said, you're high and there's no fucking way. And I did. And, you know, working the steps with my sponsor, like it took years to get through. It took me over a year and a half to do my fourth and fifth step. It was painful. And there was a point where the longest, most intimate relationship of my life was with my sponsor. And in these rooms, it was a laboratory. It was a place for me to learn to have intimate, honest relationships with men, that I didn't need the women to get certain validation or emotional needs met. And then when it got to the time to start dating, it was make it messy. Because I used to listen to people's dating plan and I'm like, yeah, that might work. But I didn't want to make it too rigid and structured, because that's not the way life is. And so it was an organic process. So as I worked through the steps, suddenly my life started getting bigger. And when I came into the rooms and realized that I needed to deal with sex abuse issues, because I really saw the whole origin of my sex addiction. But for me, it was really hard for me to wrap my head around my love addiction. and there was a codependency there. And it's like, I felt weaker and smaller, and I hated myself more because of my love addiction than my, thank you, than my sex addiction. And we worked on that. And when I say we, everyone in the program at the same time. And my life changed. And it wasn't, I met a woman when I started dating, and I met several women, but I did finally get married. And you know, all my life, I was the one who wanted to get married and have kids, and I thought that was what was gonna happen, and I was the last one to get married out of my friends. And I knew I didn't want to give up that possibility, my will, of having a family. And I met this amazing woman who, she loved the things about me that I hated, and I couldn't understand that. I knew early on that she was special because she was worth being uncomfortable for. Being uncomfortable meant me being vulnerable, me being honest. Like when she would say something and I'd lash out and I realized I'm reacting to the PTSD from my last relationship, from my relationship that brought me in here. And then I had to explain to her and felt so small and weak and would be crying. Okay, this is what happened. She just loved me more for it. And I just, it makes no sense. So I suddenly got in my life that which I never thought was possible, this relationship that was helping me, and not like she was rescuing me, but it was great. And it was beyond anything that I could ever thought. And I remember there was a point where am I gonna be able to have kids with her? No, but I knew that besides that she was worth being uncomfortable for, I knew that there was nobody else who would love me better. I could meet someone prettier or taller or richer or whatever, but like there's just nobody. And she wasn't in an SLA, she wasn't in a program, and she didn't believe in God. And that was like, oh, this is gonna be challenging. But I just had to keep focusing on my concept of what my understanding of God was. And then because I'd shared with her openly, and I learned how to do that in these rooms, she ended up going into a 12-step room for herself. And so we have some of that language, and we have compassion and empathy for each other. So that was great. What I found was when I came into these rooms, I had such a self-loathing for myself. Like I understood self-worth and self-esteem, and I didn't believe I was worthy of a lot. I thought I had confidence. I knew like I'm creative, you couldn't take that away from me. But what I believed I was worth, I wasn't worthy of love, I wasn't worthy of a lot of things. And so suddenly I started getting it, and I got the one thing that I never thought I could get. And then I didn't know what to do. I still don't. Still, like, what's the new dream? And so I started working another program because my issues of what I was worth was relative there. And I'm like, that's where I could see if I didn't work on that, it was gonna take my relationship down. So I've been in those rooms for a while, and it's my sponsor works both programs, and so we're, you know, what are you powerless over today? It's one or the other, and it's always the same things. And so I have this amazing relationship. I have this amazing life that is still challenging and wonderful, but my wife is going out of town, and I shared last week, I'm in my 50s. My wife's in her 50s. Something happens during menopause that we just don't understand. And you know, what I've noticed is a lot of us who are in these rooms, we're really sensitive. And I know I really dislike at times how sensitive I am because it gets in my way. Like I have to take my feelings with a grain of salt because they just drive me ragged. So my wife is going away, and I'm suddenly wanting to do destructive things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I used to hear people saying, you know, the addict is just doing push-ups. Mine is now unleashed and ready to wreak havoc. So what do I do? The only thing that I knew was to come back to these rooms. I moved away. I used to live over here, moved away, but I'm like, maybe I need to start talking to people in SLAA because I'm powerless over my thoughts right now. I'm powerless over wanting to feel desired, wanting to feel things that I'm just not getting in my relationship. I am getting a ton out of my relationship, but there's things that I want and I may never get. I don't know how to deal with that. When I was in these rooms for so long, I was 2005 till 2010, I think. Is that my time? And that's it, so. I hope there was something coherent, but thank you.